So I do want to wish all of you fathers a happy Father's Day and pray that your day will go well and that you'll be blessed. But let's go to our fathers in heaven and ask him to work in our midst this morning, shall we? Father, I pray that you would work in our lives and minister to us and speak to us and help us to glean from your word truths that can be applied to our lives, that we can be all that you called us to be, that we love you in such a way that that's our desire, that's our goal, that's our purpose, is to be the men and the women, the boys and the girls that bring you the glory that you deserve. So we submit this time into your hands and we'll thank you for what you accomplished, for we pray in Jesus' name, amen. You know, for Mother's Day, I had some of those, you might be a mother if. I thought it only appropriate to do that for fathers as well. And so you might be a father if you speak in the we in your sentences. Now, after we go pee-pee, we'll flushy-flushy. Oh, we've got to wipey-wipey before we flushy-flushy. That's the way it goes. Any fathers do that? You might be a father if you're known for your stupid jokes. One of the kids say, I'm tired. And dad says, hi, tired. I'm Keith. Any of you fathers known for your stupid jokes like that? Yeah. You might be a father if you broke a sweat trying to put a child's safety seat in your car. Stupidest stuff I've ever seen made. So, and you might be a father if you have a way of rating body fluids. You know, if it's just pee, manageable. What are you laughing at, Jeff? If they do the number two job, it's a maybe. And when they vomit all over the place, honey, you know, you might be a dad if that's the way you do those kind of things. I got to find my clicker here. But, you know, when it comes to Father's Day and being a father, being a grandfather, being the man that God called us to be, the thing that we really want to be known for is our faithfulness, the true calling of striving to be the man that God has called us to be. And you know, there's not a one of us in here, not a one of us as fathers or an individual. There's none of us here that are perfect. And if you've ever had the experience of being a father, then you made mistakes. There's not been a father that hasn't made mistakes. And even as grandfathers, we make mistakes. And so as we evaluate this and look at this, we understand that no one is perfect, but that's not an excuse. We are to strive to bring him honor and glory. And so our goal should really be as fathers and grandfathers to say, listen, you know, the world is a mess we live in. And I recognize that most families are barely just staying together, and many of them are not even doing that. But as for my house, our house, we're going to do our very best to seek and to honor and to glorify the Lord. And regardless of what happens to the world, and regardless of the vote of the majority, our little nucleus here wants to be that shining light. And so we want to say, as Joshua did, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And you know, if you were, I thought this would be easy, to open up the scriptures and find an example of a godly father making an impact on their children. We got instructions on how to be a father. We've got the guidelines in the scriptures, but can you name a father in the Bible that it is mentioned that he was a great father and had a great influence on his kids? It's tough. Think of Adam right off the bat. He brought sin into the world and he watches a son kill his brother. Abraham, man of faith, friend of God, but got in a hurry and decided to figure this thing out himself and gave birth to a son from his wife's handmaid. And then there was conflict in the family. David goofed up as a father, as a husband, and felt the results in his family from his children. But it's tough. I mean, I spent some time thinking in my head, where could you turn and find that example of a man in the Bible that was that father that it is mentioned that because of him, he had a great impact on his children? Did you come up with one? No, I'm sure they were. Huh? You know, there's just, it's hard. And, you know, the scripture doesn't tell us everything. We understand that, don't we? There are a lot of things that we don't have the details on. And so I know that there were godly men, and we're gonna look at one here in just a moment, but it's tough. But bottom line, fellas, this is what we got to think about. I'm going to die, and so are you. So in 100 years from now, it's not going to matter what your bank account was. Not going to matter how much money you made, how much you invested, how much you left the kids. That won't even be appreciated for very long. So it's not going to matter what your bank account was or the type of house you lived in or the kind of car you drove. But the world may be different because you were important in the lives of children. That's the thing we got to remember. We live in an age and a culture where everything is pulling at us, and we're being told stuff from the experts of things that are really vital and important to do for your children. But in 100 years from now, is it going to matter? That's what we got to ask the question. And so this morning, we're going to be looking at a father, at a son, and see the impact that we make. The father is Asa, and it's in 1 Kings. And so take your Bibles and go with me to 1 Kings. Chapter 15 is where we're going to start. So Asa is the one we're going to look at, and his father was a mess. Abijah was his father, and Abijah was known. Well, the scripture just comes right out and says that God didn't like Abijah's style of living. And if we study Abijah, we would learn that he was a man that thought pretty much of himself. He sought for those things that were important to him, but when it came time for war, boy, he could stand up in front of his soldiers and he could talk the religious talk. I mean, he could make it sound like he had that close, intimate relationship with God, and he just knew that God was going to come to the... He had the talk, but his life was a mess. There's a word we call that. What is that? A hypocrite. And so Asa grew up in a home where he did not have a father as a very good example. And so again, this shows us the importance of personal responsibility, but in 1 Kings chapter 15, we're learning a little bit about Asa. And in verse 10, it says, "And he reigned 41 years in Jerusalem." So he was a king for 41 years. Verse 11 says, "Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did his father David." Now, David wasn't his father. David would have been his great-great-grandfather. But God is looking back and reminding us of that. Verse 12, he banished the perverted persons from the land. He got rid of homosexuality, or outlawed it. And he removed all the idols that his fathers had made. So Asa comes on the scene, and it's kind of a dark scene. His father had eggs for brains. His father had not turned the nation towards God. His father had turned the nation away from God. And under his father's rule, there were idols that were brought in, and the land became known for its perversion. And so Asa comes into power and he says, "We're going to change things." And his goal was to bring honor and glory to God. And he did. And in verse 13, it says, he removed his grandmother from being queen mother because she had made an obscene image. And so verse 14, but the high places were not removed. That was a mistake. But nevertheless, verse 14, nevertheless, Asa's heart was loyal to the Lord, what's the next few words? All his days. Now jump over to chapter 22. Chapter 22, we pick up his son, Jehoshaphat. And in chapter 22, Jehoshaphat is the son of Asa. And verse 42 of chapter 22 says, Jehoshaphat was 35 years old when he became king, and he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. Verse 43, and he walked in all the ways of his father Asa. Now remember, Asa said he walked in the ways of his father David. Jehoshaphat walked in the days of his father Asa. So the impact that Asa had on him. And so it just reminds us of that impact. In verse 43, and he walked in all the ways of his father Asa. He did not turn aside from them, doing what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Nevertheless, he left those high places there as well. So, what I want us to think about this morning as we spend some time together here is not a huge study on King Asa or King Jehoshaphat, but what is it that I, as a father, as a grandfather, as a man of God, what are some things that I should strive for in my life to impact my family, to impact not just my family, but the world in which I live? And so we're going to be looking at some things. The first thing is a role model. You realize how many kids are growing up today that do not have a role model? How many children are being brought up today that do not even have a father? And if we look out into the world for role models, it's pretty tough to find a good role model. But you remember Jesus when he was here on the earth for the short period of time? Do you remember what he was trying to be to his disciples? Not just to his disciples, but what he was trying to illustrate to the world, to the culture of his day as well as our culture, was a life that was dedicated to bringing glory to the Father. And if you remember, just before the crucifixion, as Jesus was spending some time with his disciples and they were eating their last meal together, and they walked into the room, and the custom was to wash feet, but none of those disciples washed feet. And remember what he did? It was him that took that basin of water and went around and washed the feet of his disciples. And he said, now listen, guys, I want you to follow my example. I want you to become men of God who set aside yourself. You're no longer the important one, and you give yourself to serve others. And so, a role model. The Apostle Paul, writing to a church that was all mixed up, the church at Corinth, it was known for lousy stuff. Stuff that's not so uncommon in our own culture in the 21st century, but it was a church that was just falling apart at the seams, even though they thought they were okay. And Paul wrote to them, and he said, listen, guys, if you have any confusion here, if you're unsure, then follow me, for I follow Christ. So what was he saying to this church? He was saying, listen, I know the world is messed up. I know your culture is messed up. Corinth is a horrible place to live, but if you have any questions as to how to live and how to bring glory to God, just follow me. And then Paul, writing to young Timothy, writes to him, and reminds Timothy, not to do as I say, but to do as I do. And so he told Timothy, he said, Timothy, I want you, I know you're a young man, and there are people there that are saying, you know, he's just a youngster. Who needs to listen to this young whippersnapper? We're older than he is. We've got more experience. We've been around the world. But he said, Timothy, I want you, as you pastor that church, as you lead that church, I want you to be an example to the believers. And I want you to be an example in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Take heed to yourself and to your doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those that hear you. Fathers, how important it is to be the role model, to be the example. Are you perfect? No. And your kids will forgive that if you're willing to admit, if you're willing to apologize, if you're willing to say, I blew up, I'm sorry. But we're to be role models. We're to be examples to our children and to our grandchildren. And if they have any question whatsoever of what it means to be a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ, a disciple that seeks him with all our heart, with and all our soul and all our mind, we should be able to say, son, follow me. Honey, follow me. I'll show you how to be that disciple, how to be that follower of Jesus Christ. So the first thing that we should strive to be is a role model. The second thing, consistency. Consistency. Consistency in my life, first of all, is something that I should strive for, but then consistency in my expectations of my children. I think we, as parents, sometimes do more harm than we think when we don't do this, when we don't draw a line in the sand. And when we draw the line in the sand, it's supposed to mean something. It doesn't mean you can cross it on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturday, but don't you cross the line Monday, Wednesday, or Friday. Sometimes we're not consistent, and so the expectations that we have. We're kind of free today and strict tomorrow. What was wrong yesterday is not wrong today, but it might be wrong tomorrow. And that brings confusion. It brings hurt. Paul reminds the fathers in Ephesians chapter 6, after giving the role of a husband and giving the role of the wife and the role of the children, and the role is there and the structure is there and God expects us to follow that, but then he says this, and it's not just the fathers, even though our Bibles always say fathers, it's really parents, but it says, and you fathers or parents, be careful, be careful. Don't provoke your children to wrath. See, how I handle them means so much. And every child is different, dads. You just can't draw the line in the sand and you're the same all the time with everyone, because some of them you have to be a little more careful with, and sometimes you got to spend a little more time with one than you do another, but you have to be careful. The last thing we want to do is to develop this wall between us and our children that causes them to be somewhat frustrated. They don't know who they are. They don't know why they are, and they're not sure what to expect from you, and they don't know whether they're going to fail or please you at the moment, because nothing is the same. And all of a sudden, they start getting confused. They start becoming angry, and they're not sure why they're angry. They're not sure, but they're just confused because there's not been any real consistency. And so we need to develop that consistency. So if you told that child that was wrong yesterday, and they found out what happened if they did it, that if they do it today or tomorrow, the same thing. And so we've got to be consistent in our expectations of our children. So we don't want to provoke them to wrath, but we want to train them up. Notice the verse continues, to train them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That's what we want to do. And that's why it's probably wise when it comes time to discipline your children, rather than just discipline them or just vent the anger or the disappointment. It may be wise just to sit down with them and talk to them and explain to them why you're doing what you're doing, and maybe even share a verse that would help them to understand God's expectations and how this affects their lives and all of that. So they need role models. They need that consistency, that example, style of life. And then they need leadership training. Joe made mention of the daily breads out there, and some of you may know what those are, and some of you may not know what they are, but the daily breads have been around for eons. Radio Bible Class produces them, and they're not the only one. There are several ministries that have these little devotionals, and they have something for every day. And so, fathers, if you're just unsure and you don't know how to even go about a devotional time with your family, take one of those daily breads. Would be a great place to start. It's not much. It doesn't take long, but there's something there. And so we begin to train our children in the things of the Lord and to point them in the right direction. Go with me, first of all, before I talk about this, go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6 real quick. Deuteronomy chapter 6. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting in verse 1, God has given instruction to the children of Israel. Remember, they're coming out of Egypt. They're headed to the promised land, and they've been living under slavery for all this time, and God is expecting new things for them and better things from them. And so in chapter 6, he's beginning to give some instruction. And so in verse 1, it says, "Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your head." You caught that, didn't you? It doesn't say head. It says in your heart. "Shall be in your heart," verse 7, "and you shall teach them diligently You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And I don't think he's saying you preach at them every moment of your life. You preach at them as you're sitting in the house. You preach at them as you're walking by the way. I don't think that's the idea there. I think it's just the natural environment to where we remind our kids of the Lord, how important he is to us. We recognize his blessings. We recognize his hand upon us. We remind them of prayer as we lead them in prayer, and we guide them and direct them. It's just the atmosphere of the home that we have a God mindset, that we just remember who we are and who we belong to, and the importance of honoring him and glorifying him, and we continually point them in his direction. And so as fathers, spiritual leaders, it's our responsibility to kind of take that role and take that step. And again, if don't worry about yesterday, all right? None of us. Don't worry about yesterday. You can't do anything about yesterday except apologize, okay? You can't. And if your kids are grown and all of that, it's yesterday. You can't change that. Now, we can ask for forgiveness, we can apologize, and we can move, but we got to move forward. And that's where we're at today. And I want to encourage us to just start afresh, start anew if we need to, and we do need to. And so God has just given that instruction, and we can continue to read down through here and just the importance of it. But God wants us as the fathers of the home to be that spiritual guide. I want to challenge you young fathers. When we deal with leadership in the church and elders and deacons and all of that, we know that one of the things that God looks at and wants us to look at is the home. And so, you know, God tells us that if we don't get this right, the family life right, then we will not be efficient, even eligible as a church leader. And some of you young guys might be thinking, whoa, preacher. I have no intentions of that. And my response is, whoa, young father. You should have every intention of it. Let me explain. If you go back and you read about church leadership and the eldership and the overseers and the body, Paul says, listen, this saying is trustworthy. If anyone, any of you young men, if you aspire to the office of an overseer, if that's your goal and your desire, that's a good thing. Why is that a good thing? It's a good thing to be able to qualify for that, to where you can guide the flock, you can guide God's people, you can guide younger families, you can guide other fathers. And so Paul said that's really a great thing. Even as a young man, to put it as our goal that one day I would like to serve in this capacity. And so even as a young father, we begin to implement these things. We would like it to be said one day, he did well. He did right. Look at his family. What an example. And it should be something that we strive for and desire, to set it out as our goal. It's not a position to desire, in a sense of a position. It's an accomplishment to be desired. I mean, anyone that just wants the position for the position and for the tag probably shouldn't have that position. But it's an accomplishment. It's a goal to be desired, a goal to achieve for. It's a line that says the finish line is just ahead, and you're just about there. So it should be something that we should strive for as young fathers to accomplish that and to be that. Something we got to remember. Ace is an example. There's not one of us here that can blame our parents for our rottenness, for our sinfulness. We like to do that. We like to say, well, it's my father's fault. It's my mother's fault. It's those people's fault. No, we make the decision. Ace is a perfect example. His father was a mess. And so children never have the privilege or the right. Their parents may have failed them. Parents do, but we can't blame our parents. We make the decisions in our life, and so we can't do that. So let's wrap it up with this thought again. In 100 years from now, anybody going to still be around? Not me. Not me. But you know what? I've done my very best to make sure that there's some Walsworths around, some Van Campens around. I've done my very best to make sure that there's a legacy that follows. And when I'm dead and gone, well, this never made a difference anyway. My bank account, it never did make a difference to my kids, but it's not going to make a difference. How much money Dad made, how much money Dad saved, how many things Dad could buy, it's not going to make a difference. It's not going to make a difference. The house I lived in, the house I built, it's not going to make a difference. It's not going to make a difference which car I drove or anything like that. But what's going to make a difference is how much time, how much energy, how much effort I really put into my children, into my grandchildren. And so as we close and we think about Father's Day and all of that, and again, there's no perfect fathers. I haven't spoke to mine yet, but I'm going to call him later today. And he wasn't perfect. He wasn't a godly example. We weren't brought up in church at all. I still respect him, and I honor him, and I talk to him almost every day. But there are no perfect fathers. And that has nothing to do with where I'm at in my walk with the Lord, because where I'm at in my walk with the Lord is my decision. It's your decision. And I would hope that each of you understand that, and I would hope that each of you recognize that and are willing to take the steps to make sure that your walk with Christ is what it ought to be. But for those of us who have been honored to be put into the position of father, it's a big place to be put. But it's also an honor, because those little things that do those things in their diapers, they're gifts from God. Not the stuff that's in the diapers, but the little ones that fill those diapers. They're all gifts from God. And have you ever thought this? Maybe you should. But when that pregnancy took place, God was saying, I trust you. I trust you. Will you? And that's the responsibility that we have, to be able to take that. And I really admire individuals who reach out and adopt and become foster parents, and they take on all these other lives, hoping that they can do the same thing, have an impact in the lives. Because that's what God has called all of us to be. Disciple makers. Point individuals. Take these young hearts and lead them to the Father. So what can we just learn as we look at the scriptures and think about this? I think role model is so important. Be that example. Consistency with our children. And then be the spiritual leaders, the spiritual trainers. Dad, step up to the plate and start doing something. Anything is better than nothing. If it's nothing more than reading a verse, singing a song, start something. And let's raise up a generation that honors and glorifies God. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for today and for this morning, and I would pray that you would be with each of us. I thank you for the opportunities that you give to us to raise up young lives. And right here in this building represent a lot of little children, a lot of young hearts, a lot of young lives. And I would ask that you would give us as a body of believers and as fathers, as elders, you'd give us wisdom as we try to lead in these days in such a way that we can say to the young ones, the young hearts, the young minds, if you have any question, if you have any uncertainty as to what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, follow me, for I follow Jesus. And we'll thank you for what you accomplish, for we pray in Jesus' name, amen.